You are the foundation of your family. You are the firm footing they build their lives on. You carry a glorious burden, and you never dream of laying it down. You carry it with joy and gratitude. You show up, even when you don't feel like it. You lead, serve, love, and protect. You are a father. This is the Dad Work Podcast, where men are forged into elite husbands and fathers by learning what it takes to become harder to kill, easier to love, and equipped to lead. Get ready to start building the only legacy that truly matters, your family.
Welcome to the Dad Work Podcast. This is Kurt Storing, your host and the founder of Dad Work, and today I am joined by Eric Freedom. Eric is a husband, father, founder of Reason Fitness, kingdom builder, and a student of life. He's a coach, and he believes that everyone should have someone in their corner helping them chase their goals and realize their capabilities. He's been a fitness and wellness coach for 15 years, and he helps people become the best version of themselves. His advocacy is to optimize their fitness, mindset, and nutrition in a way that's attainable and sustainable for real life. He's got a couple podcasts, We the Trust. The other one's called Finding Reason. He's got a book on Amazon, Don't Run from the Fight. And you can find everything else about him at ericfreedom.com. All that will be in the show notes at dad.work/podcast. We are going to talk today, guys, about the importance of identifying as a builder. The five pillars Eric uses to build a well-rounded life. What a good dad teaches his kids about emotion. Why focusing on fitness first actually helps you build the other pillars, and the importance of knowing what layer of accountability you need in your life. I hope you guys are crushing it today. If you haven't seen your kids yet because you're at the gym, it's early morning, whatever, pump yourselves up to go home and absolutely just deliver. Just show up so undistracted, so present, so selflessly serving that your kids are just blown away. And the same with your wife. Just go and do something wonderful for her, only because that's what a good husband does, not because you have an expectation of reciprocation, just because you are a good man and that is what good men do. Do that for your family when you get home, or if you're listening to this later on, do it tomorrow. Leave a note, do something, guys. Go above and beyond to serve and be the leaders of your family. That means doing amazing things and getting the most potential out of your wife and kids and making them feel so safe and secure with you as the head of the family. Now, we're going to get into this podcast, guys, but I have to tell you something. We are offering a 10-day free Elite Dad Challenge. And if you haven't joined that yet, I got to ask, what are you guys thinking? This is 10 days, a challenge every day, an email every day that breaks down exactly how to act like and be an elite family leader. That's husband, that's father, that's man, to raise great kids, save your marriage in some cases, and just live an exceptional life. I want you to go sign up at dad.work/challenge. That's free. It's 10 days right to your inbox. It is insanely powerful. I've got like just incredible feedback from you guys who are on it saying that within like 2 days, it's changing lives. And I just am so grateful that it's doing that, because this is tried and true, guys. This is everything I did to change my life. It's everything I do today to be an elite family leader. It's everything I do with the men in our Brotherhood Elite Group Coaching Program so that they can do the same. And I'm giving away for free, okay? Sign up for that. It's going to be amazing. dad.work/challenge if you want more dad work in your life so that you can show up as an elite family leader. Now, why don't we hop into the podcast today with Eric Freedom? We are going to have so many more amazing podcasts coming up over the next few months. I've got tons of interviews scheduled. I've got tons of your questions to answer for the solo episodes coming up. Guys, stick around. I hope you love it. It's all for you to become elite family leaders for your kids, for your wife, for the future, to become an elite ancestor. How sick is that, eh? Anyway, enjoy this conversation. Love you guys. Thanks for being here. Here we go. All right, gentlemen, we're back for another episode of the Dad Work Podcast with Eric Freedom. Dude, come on, man. We connected a little while ago and you're like, we're the same person. This is bizarre. And so I'm really excited for this conversation because we're not actually the same person. You're doing a ton of crazy things. And dude, you're a dad, your husband, you're a business owner. There's so much going on. And yet, like we were just talking about, you're like covering a lot of bases well. So let me just start out by laying the groundwork here. Tell us just like, you know, 2 second overview, family, business, that we can go into everything else.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Kurt.
Of course.
I feel honored. I am doing my best to steward to the best of my ability. So I don't know if I'm doing them well, but I'm doing my best, man. And I think that's the most that we can ask for ourselves most. I'm a father, or I'm a husband first. I tell my kids that I love their mom most. And I loved her first, and that's why they're here now. So been in married for 10 years, a decade. This year will be 11 in August, and been with the same person in the same relationship since I was 17 years old. So I've been I've been with the same lady now for 16 years.
Incredible.
So half my life, man. More than 16 years. 18 years. So been with my wife for 18 years. It's pretty crazy when I think about it. I'm going to give her a kiss when I walk out of this podcast. and 3 kids, 6, 4, and 1. So we still have like, can you consider a 1-year-old still a newborn?
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
We have the toddlers.
Yeah. We have a little one, and she doesn't walk yet. She has just started like becoming a monster crawler, just starting to have some solids. I've had the privilege of, this year will be year 10 of stewarding a business that I started 10 years ago. I've been a coach for a little over 16 years. This will be my 17th year, starting my 17th year right now. Been largely in the fitness industry for the better, you know, the former years. And now it's kind of morphed into, I just had a conversation with someone about it yesterday. Like, I mean, he basically was picking my brain, like, how'd you get into life coaching? And I was like, oh, I'm a life coach. Okay. You know, don't like the label, but I guess that'd probably be the closest thing to describe what I do. I call it executive coaching, but, I have the privilege of coaching, a good amount of men and a small, very small amount of women. And, been doing that for half a decade or so. And this, my most recent thing that I've been into lately is a little woodworking. And I actually recently published a book that we talked about. And yeah, man, I'm just in my mid-30s trying to figure life out.
Renaissance man.
You know, one season at a time, and just trying to enjoy it while it lasts. I recently read a book called Die with Zero. Don't know if you've read that book, but it's by Bill Perkins. Yeah. And to right now, what is it? April, May? It's May already.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're entering the middle of Q2, and I'm about a dozen or so books in. And it's probably the best book I've read to year to date so far. And it's really reframed a lot of how I want to finish my year and how I want to finish the better half of this decade. Just what I want my 30s to look like as I head into my 40s. What does it really mean to be a good steward of my time, money, energy, resources, influence, relationships, and so on. So that's me, man, in a nutshell.
That's some Renaissance man stuff. There's a lot of things in there. Did you say woodworking, by the way?
Yeah, you know, so
that's so cool.
Yeah, I have a good friend that's into it. So he told me, I've done 2 projects so far. Nothing amazing, like nothing. I've done a edge grained cutting board made of walnut. I took 8 feet of walnut. It was like 18 inches by 8 feet of walnut, turned into a board that's about 2 feet by 3 feet long or so. It's a huge cutting board. Do all my steaks on there. And then also made a mantle for my wife for a fireplace this Christmas. And that was out of maple. And that was really fun. So,
dude, yeah, that's awesome. I've actually just started doing stuff like that with my kids. Like, we just finished building a little workbench in the garage so that they can start doing this stuff too. And it's like, I don't know anything about that.
I actually like, I made like 3 or 4 years ago, I made us a, like a farmhouse table and bench, never made anything else before. And I just figured it out and it was awesome. But now it's like a thing that I can do with the kids and I don't know if they're going to like it, but I'm going to give them the opportunity. And that's one of the things that I love to do is just like do more and do interesting things so that you can then maybe spread that to them because they might pick up on it, man. Yeah. Like one kid loves Lego. So maybe he's going to love building real things.
Yeah. And I think ultimately, something I want to teach my kids is that we're all builders. And regardless of what you're building, know that you were created, you were built, and you are meant to be a builder. And what that means is like, it doesn't mean that you need to build, like do woodwork. Like I have no business turning this into a business. Like I have no business monetizing woodworking at all. Like, am I proud of my pieces? Yes, they're very good. In fact, they are world-class to me, but like my cutting board, like if you offered me like an edge ring cutting board about that size, probably goes for $600 to $800. Cost me about $150 to $200 in materials. I would not sell it for $5,000. Like, you cannot have it. My mantle, when I do move, even though it's mounted into my fireplace, I'm going to take it off and take it with me. Even if it doesn't fit, even if I have no fireplace in my new house, I'm going to take it with me because I made it. Unless like the sellers or like the buyers of my house have some type of sentiment and like I want to bless them with it, and they need to like verbally promise me that they're going to keep it and you know, like not remove it, you know, otherwise, or like, hey, if you do decide to remodel, like, let me know and I'll come take it off your hands, you know? So like, it's that sentimental thing because it's not about what it's worth, like the price of it. And it's about what I built and the hours, like the ridiculous amount of hours that it took, 30 hours for me to build it. I don't like how long it take you to make that table.
Oh, dude, it is. I'm not even going to tell you.
Probably embarrassing, right? Yeah. It's like an embarrassing amount of time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like sanding, like sanding.
Oh, dude. Everything, every step along the way, I've taken pictures of it. I've like, dude, I love having people over because it's like, it's not a perfect table. There are mistakes in it. And dude, I built that.
Yeah.
And it was from nothing. And that's beautiful.
Yeah,
talk more about that though, dude, because this is a huge conversation that I don't think a lot of people really get because we're all consumers today. There's not many creators. And I've always felt as well, like a builder, like a creator. And everyone I see is like just consuming. But what is it about like the feeling? If guys don't get this, there is something about creating that's different.
Yeah. So going back to like my original like illustration, like again, it took 30 hours. It changed. It was a process of becoming for me. So the first project took me like 15 to 20 for the cutting board. And then I think that if the mantle was my first project. So what I did was we did, I already forgot what it's called. We did it where it's like, it locks into each other and I had to hammer it in. So we did that. And then I had like little homages. That's like, I put in like five pegs because there's five of us in my family, you know, and stuff like that. And little small details. There's 10 pegs on each side on the edges because my wife and I have been together for 10 years and I gave it to her on our 10th year of marriage, you know? So like little things that only I'm going to know that are really special to us. You know, I think the thing about building is that you learn that it's not perfect along the way and it won't be. And that's okay. But what we are building is important, and what you're building right now may not be what you're going to be building forever. It's temporary as well. There's seasons to the things that we're building in life. And that's what I love about building is that we are all builders. Whether we are in construction, one of my good buddies he started a company called Cornerstone Building Development, right? Like he loves being a builder, but he's also a great builder of people. And he's just beginning to see that side of himself, right? So we build things, ideas, and ultimately we were all meant to build something or build something to become better, right? So you either are the originator of building something new, a new concept, idea, or thing, or you take something and you build it and you make it better, right? And I think there's so many avenues that us as men, as dads, we can go down. But I think when we lose sight of that's who we are. I did not see us going down this route, by the way. But I think when we lose sight of that is when we lose sight of who we are, because we were like so. One thing I give an example is I'm a big time person. So for example, I like to let people, builders, build what they build best, and I stay in my lane. So you're not going to catch me like doing a plumbing work under my house, and yeah, would it save me $9,000, $10,000 to replumb my house? Yes, it would. And that's an insurmountable amount of money for a lot of people, right? It's a ton of money. But for me, is that best time spent? No, I'd rather get someone that is a pro, that he was meant to do this work, to do this work and get paid and rewarded handsomely for the work that he's doing, for doing a good job, than me trying to do it halfway, right? But there have been times where I think for the exercise, for the sake of building or the experience of what it'll teach you, it's good for you. So for example, my kids have a, what do you call it? When you have like two sinks in one vanity.
Oh yeah. Double vanity.
A double. Oh my gosh. That's simple. Okay. It's a double vanity, right? So they have a double vanity in their restroom that they share. And so they each have their own sink. And you know, that one of the things I try to teach them is like, hey, like, this is your side. This is your side. Keep your toothbrush here, you know, keep stuff lined up. Hey, every time you finish using the sink, you want to wipe it, stuff like that. And both of their sinks coincidentally are clogged. I'm like, what do you guys send down there that it's clogged? And I had just learned how to dissect a sink because I was going to call a plumber and fix it. And then my buddy, who's like pretty handy, was like, hey, let me send you this YouTube video. Like, if you have this kind of sink, it's actually quite easy. I watched the video. I was like, it is pretty easy, but my hands are going to get dirty. It's probably going to take me. And I was like, I think if this could take me 1 hour, it's worth the lesson. And I will do it the first time to decide if it's worth my time going forward. Right. So I did it. I took it apart. It's like, I have the sink where like you have to get under the sink and unscrew the thing that goes up and down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Totally. So I took it apart. I like got an old toothbrush. I like pulled out the stopper. I'm like trying to scrub it down. It's got like black mold or whatever, the black gunk in there and ton of hair. Right. And I was like, wow, that was it. Cause as I cleaned out the inside of the sink going down into the pipes, I was like, wow, it was all stuck there. And for me, I was like, you know what? Neck up, I will handle going forward. Neck below, that's not me, right? I'll let the plumber deal with the real plumbing, the organ. Yeah. I'll deal neck and above. And I think the lesson for me in that example is that's a form of building or learning how to like do something. And I'm okay with it in that. But there are times where I'm not, you know? So, yeah.
Dude, and the thing is, like, with, I was thinking about your book as you're talking about this and your five sort of fundamental components of life. And like, we're building something in our day-to-day life, and especially as fathers, we're building family. But in that family structure, the way that I say it is, we are the foundation of our family, and we've got to be that solid core, concrete, whatever they make foundation out of, in order for our kids and wife to build a wonderful life on top of us. And so there is building of the man who will be the father and the husband. And I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about that, how you've seen this come, because I think, I mean, your book is called Don't Run from the Fight. Is that correct? And you know, it talks about your opponent being you. And it's like, dude, that's exactly it. We're fighting against ourselves to build what we need out of our life. So have you seen this sort of analogy play out in your life, and how are you building? And maybe this goes right into the mind, body, spirit, emotion wallet. Maybe not, but I just want to sort of riff on that and like building the man, how we're doing that together as a father.
Oof, that is,
that's big, dude, but you can take it. Wherever.
Yeah. That's a lot to unpack. man. So, you know, as a father, I think, you know, this is just like a blanket statement. I think becoming a father was one of the greatest points where in life, like you come into contention, right? I think it's one of the greatest fights of my life. When I look at, if I look at myself as a boxer or a fighter, right? We have different matches, right? I think there are two things that like the two biggest fights that I've had, you know, in the ring, my record, whatever, my boxing record, right? Or my fighting record or my MMA record in the last decade is, number one, starting my own business. That's probably one of the biggest fights in my life, but it wasn't really about starting the business. It was a answer to me answering the call to my bigger picture purpose of who I am and what I wanted to do with my time. What was my being? And what I did was an expression of my being, right? My actions and the things that I built, man, this thing has really become a builder thing, huh? But like the thing that I built and became the things that I started to do every day started to define my being. So that was me. Like, I've always been a coach for many years, and I had this itch to coach at a deeper level. And I think the first expression of that was birthing a gym out of my mom's garage. when I first moved back from college. And then getting into my first brick and mortar was like the real, it's like someone gave a 25-year-old kid a lease. Like when you think about it, what a crazy thing to do. And the second thing was not, I would actually go back and say actually not getting married. And I think not because there wasn't importance of being, but I think I was actually very immature when I got married. I wanted to do right by my wife. My intentions were good, but I was not ready to honestly even like man up and be a man. And it wasn't until I became a father that I understood two things. Number one, generational, like intergenerational brokenness that I was passed on from my parents to me of like, wow, I'm not healthy in these ways because my parents didn't experience a healthy upbringing or they're like, they've only given me the best of what they have. So if that's what I have, what am I going to give to my kids? So there's two things that I did right away. Number one, like it woke me up to this reality of like, dude, I got to wake up and I gotta grow up real quick. Number one, I got to leave. So like I could break it down into like five pillars. Like literally, like I didn't realize back then, but these five pillars are being formed in me. The first thing was, wow, like my emotional health is messed up. Holy crap. I am so quick to get, and I write about this in the book. I am so quick to get angry. Like in my 20s, I was like, my wife always says I was literally a monster of a human being. Like I can't believe she was attracted to me because like I could be the most nicest, charming person, as she says. But when I get mad to the point of like no return, I am a monster. Like I will destroy things, right? I will punch steering wheels. I will go crazy over things when I am that mad. I haven't accessed that level of anger in a long time. I've felt that level of anger, but I've now today I funnel it into like, if it's injustice that I feel, I go, well, how do I create peace? How do I bring justice to the injustice, right? Injustice. So really getting a hold of my emotional health. And back then, over a decade and a half ago, my wife had asked me to do therapy and I wasn't very open to it. Number one, because of the cost. Number two, because I'm like, dude, that's weird. I'm going to sit there and talk to someone like that's weird. Right. But you know, so getting a hold of my emotional health, that was the first step, I think. As I grew in that, I started to challenge a lot of the things that were going in my head, the stories that I told myself. I started to begin to challenge those stories. So I started to challenge the things that I believed. Were those actually real experiences? And they were, but were the takeaways like that? Like two people can look at the same situation and take away two different things, right? So are these things that I believe of my father, who I've been angry with for over decades? Are these things true or have I chosen them to be true? And it was probably somewhere in the middle. You know, like my dad is by no means perfect. And I think just by me saying that out loud and really, really accepting that helped me fully understand what grace really was for the first time. You know, and I took a step back and I said, hey man, like, dude, if my dad is just human, am I treating him like he is just human? Or did I put him on a pedestal because of what I think fathers should be? Right. So unfairly to him. So that began a process of healing mental and emotional health and relational health. Right. And then the first thing I felt was, you know, my wife and I've been at this church for like, I didn't grow up in the church, but my wife did. She's like, she literally taught, it's called Sunday school, which is like, you basically, it's like catechism classes basically. Right. But she grew up in that church, like starting from middle school and starting high school until we were in our mid-20s, for 12 years, over a decade, she taught nearly every Sunday and didn't take time off. And I was like, that's not healthy. Like, that's like, when does your soul get fed? When do you get to learn and glean wisdom from others other than sitting in like a main service, right? And I said, you know what? Like, I don't think I want my kids, when we do have kids, to grow up in this. So that was a step that I took for our spiritual health, like changing directions, pivoting. And that was hard, right? So it's like, but that began this whole new adventure that started 7 years ago, where now spiritually I'm in a wholly, like totally different place. Like the things that I believed were KPIs. You bring KPI to spiritual health. Let's, but it's like, how you bring business into or metrics into your spiritual health. But like everything has KPI, everything has metrics, right? And I don't mean to be performative, but even like my spiritual health, like it used to be like, I used to feel guilty when I didn't go to church on a Sunday. is that spiritually healthy? I'd probably say no now, right? But 2 decades ago, it was like, oh, you didn't go to Sunday school? Man, you don't love God. You know, it's like, that is like the furthest thing from the truth. And because now I've experienced like that spiritually, I've grown where I know that I can get healthy spiritually in different ways, right? It's not just one funnel. So that's growth, right? Financially, oh, where do I begin there? I'm a newbie. I'm still beginning. I followed Dave Ramsey for years, you know, but it's like, it's getting a grip of like, so it's your spiritual health, your emotional health, your mental health, and your financial health, right? And I'll get into your physical health later, but financially, it's like the first thing that I learned is like, dude, it's my role, at least agreed upon between me and my wife. And it's really, really hard today. So look, I hate to put stereotypes and certain narratives onto society, but like, I get it. Like, it's very difficult to go single income. Right. And I know like, so whether like, and I don't know where you fall on like egalitarianism versus complementarianism, all this stuff and all that stuff. But like, I know I have certain friends where they're like, no, that's the men. It's the men's job to provide all the income. It's the wife's job to stay at home. And I'm like, sure. Or the other way around or whatever. But I just know that in today's society, that may not be possible. Right. Like, that's hard. But what I do feel called in my marriage is that, and I've always felt that's like the burning pressure that I felt from the day that I got engaged was I went into crisis mode. And I thought, man, I remember one of my biggest fears. You guys have Applebee's up there in Canada?
Dude, I don't know, but I know what it is.
Okay. So like, it's funny because in college, we used to go to happy hour, like, you know, on Friday nights. And I'd always get this like appetizer sampler special. And it was like $9 and it's just like way too much food for $9. Like you get mozzarella sticks and quesadillas and like hot wings and boneless wings. And it's just amazing. Nachos. It's totally unhealthy, just junk. Right. And in college, like you could just eat that all day. Right. Every Friday we ate that. And I remember one of my greatest fears when I got engaged was like, man, am I going to be able to take my family to Applebee's and have them not have to order off like the happy hour only menu? Because in college, it's like, it's kind of, you do what you can afford, right? And afterwards, you're like, man, what am I going to do, right? And as I was like, can I even afford to have a family? Can I even afford to take my wife on good dates and so on? And the fear, and I think before I thought about like, how do I make money? How do I make money? And now where my financially, like my theology or my view of stewardship is money follows value. And I just think, how do I create enough value that there actually is value? And I just believe that the money will follow. As a man that wants to provide, that's kind of like my framework of how I see your ability to earn, right? Like, and it's crazy because like, it's just that simple. People pay for things that are valuable. They will not pay for things that are not. And I believe I've been blessed to bring enough value into the world where I've been rewarded and compensated in a way that provides for my family. Savings on top of that, I was a big Dave Ramsey guy that served me really well in my 20s. It doesn't really serve me well today. I'm in my 30s now where I'm a lot more leveraged than I was. I used to think like I wanted a house paid off, this and that meant financial security. Now I think, no. Like, how are you leveraging OPM, other people's money, or even the bank's money at a rate that as long as I can get a better return, how do I leverage that? So, and that's a whole other, I'm not here to give financial advice, but for me personally, I'm learning about that right now, getting into my first few syndication deals right now, learning about whole life insurance, HECVs, if you know what that is, high early cash value insurance. I'm learning how to like that 529Bs might not be the only way for my kids to save for college because, well, what if they don't go to college? And that's a whole other conversation about education. And then there's the fifth pillar, which is, in my opinion, the industry that I'm in, one of the most important pillars. Not that the one is more important than the other, but what I love about stewarding your physical body in a good way, in a healthy way, is that, you know, I shared this in another podcast earlier this morning, is that taking care of your health and your fitness, as one of my mentors, Eric, likes to say, is the force multiplier in your life. When you take, and here's the reason why, anybody can feel it right away. Finance, it's hard to feel like you're kind of snowballing like in a good direction, right? It's like, it takes a while to feel the momentum and the work that you're putting in, right? Emotional health. Yeah, that's one of those things where you go to therapy, you might feel better, but you don't feel the rolling effect of it until a year later, 5 years later, you're like, holy crap, I have a great relationship with my wife now. But it's because you've been, investing in it and it didn't feel that way for 1 year, for 2 years. And suddenly you realize, wow, I have a great, I realize that I have an amazing marriage. Like my wife and I are we're not perfect by any means. We argue way more than we should. But the way that we're able to communicate and love each other now, dude, take me back 10 years ago, the first 3 years of my marriage, I could not envision this. Right. And that just takes time. Whereas like your physical fitness, literally, dude, you want to feel better? Go do 100 pushups right now. Oh, you still don't feel that great? Well, do 100 pushups and 100 squats and then run a mile. And then afterwards, just sit there. As you recover, I guarantee you, you're going to feel your dopamine, your endorphins. There's going to be an opiate hit and you're going to feel better right away. And when you feel good, that's the force multiplier right there. And that goes, okay, I feel good. What should I do now? Oh, I should eat good. I should eat better. Because you know why? I feel so good right now. Why would I want to eat potato chips after I just went and ran a mile, did 100 pushups, and I did 100 squats, right? You know what? Dude, I feel a little bit better about money now. Oh man, I want to save money. I'm tired of wasting money. So it's the first layer of like consciousness for a lot of, especially men, where we're such, most of us are such physical beings that like you can feel it right away. And it breeds confidence right away. So I think stewarding your health into the best of your ability in whatever way you can is that's the fifth pillar. And I do my best to take care of that in different ways in different seasons. So
that is so right on the health thing, because it's like, oh dude, but the things that matter are like spiritual and the connections. And it's like, yes. And I think we get in our own way. We are like the biggest BSers. We always are distracted. And if you cut all of that crap by just feeling better, like, bro, everything falls into place. That's why, like, the guys that I work with too, like, what is the first thing? We got to become hard to kill. So you're going to be doing some sort of exercise. You're going to be eating reasonably well. Like, you got to do the thing to make your physiological body feel good. And I think so many people are lost today because they simply aren't treating their bodies like they're human. It's like, well, of course you're going to feel like crap. Of course you're going to be depressed. Of course you're not going to have any productivity because you're treating yourself like a garbage bin, bro. Yeah. Like, of course. And so you're so right, man. Like, that is the way to go. Dude, there's so much in what you just said. I'm like taking notes over here. Like, you said, great, like, man, you forgave your father and like you became emotionally aware and like you didn't yell anymore. Like, dude, same story. But how the flip did you do that? And it's like, dude, the spiritual stuff and then like the marriage stuff. And the, like everything, bro. So maybe we should just like dive a little deeper, because just, bro, to just carry on with this like building analogy, we've just got the plans. Okay. So like you just saw the plans Eric laid out there, and now it's like, okay, well, I don't know how to dig a foundation. So like, what do we even do there? So I think maybe let's start in reverse order here. Like, dude, you've got the gyms, you've done this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Let's say a guy's like, bro, I just don't even know what to do. What is this first in terms of like, let's get that physical pillar down.
That's a good one, man. So the way that I view like changing anything in your life is there's really three ways to do it. Okay. The first thing is getting awareness and consciousness. So like, let's say that I'm going to assume that you're in a position of, hey, I want to do something about this. I have this problem. Well, here's what you do. There's so many resources out there. I mean, I think, I don't know if you follow Alex Hormozi, but he says this one a lot. And my mentor, Chris Cooper, says this as well. He says that we have more access to luxuries and tools and resources today. We live better today than the Queen of England did 100 years ago. Dude, when you think about that, that's mind blowing, because the Queen of England is like literally royal. She is like creme de la creme of like having access to the best things in the world, right? When you're the queen, you can be like, hey, I would like this food from this country next week. Let's make that happen. What's up? Right. But you literally had that much power, right? It's like, and it's amazing because you're literally born into it. Right. But even what we have today in terms of basic needs, like we have more access than anybody does to anything 100 years ago, even the queen. So when you think about that, it's really empowering. Like what we have on these devices right here, like on your phone, you have access to more information. Then we're like when's the last time you even saw when's the last time you saw an encyclopedia?
Yeah,
that's how we used to store information, right? Dude, they're like encyclopedias are like collectibles now at this point. They're like an homage to history at this period of time in these years. This is the information that we valued, But now information is at our fingertips. So there's no excuse in terms of like knowledge. Knowledge is not an issue. If you're unaware, you're just not educating yourself, right? And generally, to become healthier, we all know, dude, don't eat processed food. Eat real foods. Don't eat too much of it. Then you get more complex. Eat micronutrients, macronutrients, right? Where do I start with that? That gets complicated. But generally speaking, like, you know, when you look at a head of broccoli and a steak, and then you look at a pizza, like, which one is going to be more nutritionally dense? It's common sense. And you just look at which one are you doing more frequently, right? So I'm just solved the nutrition problem there for you there. But see, that's a DIY issue, right? Then it's like, okay, well, then there's done with you and there's done for you, right? So I think for us, it's really looking at what layer of accountability do we need? What layer of coaching do we need? And I think starting your fitness journey starts with that. It's like, what is going to make me most successful? And then the most important thing is, what do I really want? What is the end result? Is it just to feel better? Well, there's not much you need to do to feel better, but there's a lot that you might need to do to have like real, like measurable change, like metrics that are like, wow, I am 20% body fat less. That's a huge metric. Or I want 10% more muscle mass, or I want to never be at risk for high blood pressure. Right? These are all metrics where you need a serious game plan to execute. So for your health and fitness, I would start there. It's like, what level do you need? But we all know, like, go for a walk, go for a run, do some pushups, do some sit-ups. Like, those are very beginning layer conversations of what it means to take care of yourself to a minimum. Go for a hike, like whatever. Like, you, like, we know, we make it more complicated than it really is, right? Which is why gyms exist. Right.
Yeah. And dude, it's an implementation issue, not an information issue, right? No. Like, that's exactly what you're saying. And that's why, like, you got all these guys who know this. Like, you're right. It's basic sense. It's common sense. I love what you said about knowing what layer of accountability you need. Yeah. Because the same thing, dude, I hear from guys all day in my DMs. They're doing the stuff. I'm giving them all the free resources.
Yep.
Like, well, why aren't you better? And it's like, because they need the accountability. Yep. And that's not bad. I think that I'm pretty good at doing stuff myself. Yep. And as soon as I hire a coach, I'm like, dude, I was doing nothing. Like, I was so lazy. And then a coach pushed me to do even better. And the thing is, as well, don't forget, guys, this isn't just like, well, you know, I want to be a good dad. What does it matter if I can, like, you know, bench a couple plates? It's like, well, here's the thing. This is a pillar. Like, what you're getting at here, man, this is like a pillar of your life. Yeah. You will not show up as an excellent dad and husband if you are not physically fit for a myriad of reasons. So, you know, if you're listening to this going like, well, whatever, I don't need fitness. Like, bro, you do. Get some accountability, hire a trainer for 6 weeks just to get something going, and then build that habit and move on from there. Join a gym, get like, dude, there's online coaches these days. It's so easy, but take action. Anyway, love that.
Yeah. Just to add to that real quick before you move on is, I've been a health coach for 16 plus years. I have a coach. So like, even for me myself, like, you might look at me and be like, why would, like, that's weird. Why would you have a coach? If you're a coach, do you not know things? It's not a knowledge issue.
No.
Right. It's like, I need guys in my corner. We talk about this in the book too, like creating your corner, where these guys, I've put them in this place to look at my blind spots. Hey, maybe you didn't know you're getting hit from here. Hey, maybe you need to protect yourself here. Hey, maybe you need to strike here, right? So that's the importance. Like, so for me, like, even as a health coach myself, I have a coach.
Yep. Same, dude. And the thing, like, I'll talk to my guys and doing like a coaching call with my clients. And then the next day I'll be on a call with my coach and they'll say something. And I'm like, I just told my guys that yesterday. Why don't I see it? And it's like, because of the perspective of your life, you are too close to see where you're missing. And the more eyes on you, I have found, the better results you're going to get because you are your biggest BSer. So it makes so much sense to have a coach, no matter who you are. Highly recommend it for everything. Okay. So we've got the body. I think you talked a little bit about the sort of the wallet stuff, Dave Ramsey, whatever you guys want to do with that. I don't know if you have anything else on that, but I'm really interested in the other three personally. Are you good if we just sort of like hop over the one for now?
I'm with it.
Here's the one that I want to dive into most right now, at least, is like this emotional piece, because you have a very similar story to me insofar as like you became aware that there was generational, people call it trauma, people call it brokenness. I think you said there's something that our parents passed on from how they were raised all the way back and it doesn't feel good. There's a missing component, and you and I became aware by God's grace. And then we were able to do something about it. So I've got my own story about screaming and yelling and being a scary SOB to my family. But I kind of want to hear yours in terms of like, bro, how did you even start? You became aware.
Yeah.
You got kids now, you got a wife now, but you're still sort of like screaming, you're angry. What was your journey? Because dude, if you cannot be an emotional master as a father, you're never going to connect with your kids. So what did that journey look like for you?
Okay. Where I begin. Fuck, I'm going to retell you the book right now. No, I'm just kidding. Because like the book really only touches on a part of it. Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to attack this from the angle of this is what emotionally healthy fathers teach their children. I'll go from that angle. So it's like a play on rich dad, poor dad. Yep. Okay. Like rich dads teach their kids to steward wealth in this way. Like X, Y, Z. We all know. If you read Rich Dad, Robert, oh my goodness, I'm butchering.
Kiyosaki.
There we go. Man, you said that really fluently. I've been learning Spanish and dude, my tongue has the R's and stuff. It's just the Y's, the R's, everything messes you up. So, but the same thing, right? So I've been developing like what I, insider info too. I've been putting together a new Instagram account slowly. No, I just had the name, but I haven't done anything with it. Rich Dad Journal. And it's like just this idea of like what a rich, like, and rich has a, not the definition that you think. Yeah. So it's redefining what it means to be rich. And so I've been kind of working through like what it means for rich, like rich dads to teach their kids these things and rich in every aspect. Right. So when it comes to emotional health, I think there's a few lessons that I feel like rich dads would like, if like emotional healthy father, if I was an emotional health father, I would want to be taught this, or I'd want to teach my sons or my daughters this. I think that the first step is that I had a really hard time with as a very angry young adolescent boy. And I don't say teenager or man because I was a boy. And there are a lot of adult boys out there. Learn that there's more than one emotion. That's it. And guess what? It's not being angry. Okay. And it's so funny because like, if someone said this to me 10 years ago, I'd be like, eat it, bro. I think for the longest time for me personally, I didn't understand how to feel anything other than anger. So anger became this driving force. Actually, and anger was like, I don't know if you've heard in sports, like play angry. Oh, like you're not playing mad enough. Go play angry.
Yeah.
So I learned to harness anger to become like this superpower, but it's also my biggest kryptonite. So the first thing that I think that I would, when it comes to being emotionally healthy, what a rich dad would teach their kids is to identify and express your emotions. To be able to understand that it's essential, like that for you to be emotionally healthy, you have to be able to recognize, dude, what are you feeling exactly right now? Hey, like, did you think that? Like, because there are so many times that I was just sad, but then I would get mad. Mm-hmm. And it's like, when you zoom out and when I look at myself, I'm like, dude, what a sociopath, dude. Like you don't even realize you're just sad, but you're anger because of it, right? And I think, so it's expressed. So it's, first of all, it's recognizing, and then maybe expressing it, talking about it, finding someone that you trust, whether it's a therapist or a trusted friend that has in the, like hopefully emotionally healthy, that currently in an emotionally healthy space where they can process with you and help you understand what it is that you're feeling. Just bounce that back. I think that's the first layer, and it's definitely not bottling it in, you know? So I think that's the first thing. The second thing I think would be for emotional health, I think it's developing a layer of resilience. So understanding that life, and the perfect example of this is if you've ever worked in sales, this is a really good example. You have to be really resilient to be a salesperson because you have to learn how to take no. You have to learn that, right? And some people like go, oh, no. And what do they feel right away? The thing that we just talked about, they get really upset. Or they go to maybe the other side of the spectrum, they get really emotionally, they feel really sad, or they start to like get really down on themselves. And eventually, what's the feeling that comes back after that? Being really angry again, right? So I think I would challenge our kids to develop resilience in the face of adversity. Learn that as part of life, just like in sales, it's cyclical. Like in different, I love this clip that just happened where, someone's interviewing Giannis. You know who Giannis is? Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, basketball player, right?
Yeah, basketball player, right? He's the Bucks, right? He's one of my. I have a signed ball right here. It's the only. It's the only NBA artifact that I've ever bought in my life, because my favorite basketball player ever was Kobe Bryant. He's probably the closest thing ever. And not because of that he's like X amount of champion or whatever, but it's his character. What I really love about his story, like, came from Nigeria, went to Greece. His family was like refugee status, basically. Like, they were, and then they used him getting to the NBA to bring his family. It's just a powerful story. Talk about setbacks. And someone was interviewing him, and they're like, and he basically, they were number one seed in the playoffs recently, and they lost to the number eighth seed. How often does it happen? He goes, so do you view this season as a failure? And he literally is like, what kind of question is that? And what he said, and his answer was just so eloquent. He responds by saying, hey, let me ask you, you're at work, right? You have your job. You get a promotion every quarter. So if you don't get a promotion every quarter, did you fail? No, right? And it's to learn that there's a season for, and I'm learning that myself right now. Like, I'm really frustrated about certain things. Like, I don't get to date my wife one-on-one as much as I like, because we have a newborn. But also know that, you know, we've decided if this is our last one, I'll never have that again. So in the season that I'm in, just be resilient. Like, not that, like, it doesn't mean I have a bad marriage if I can't have that time right now, but it's like, I have that time in a different way, you know?
Did you learn that, like, through business? Do you think?
I absolutely learned a few business. Yeah, because, you know, like, there's months where I come home and, like, I remember, like, every summer or Christmas would hit, like, people travel, and I'd be like, I would just get in the dumps. So my wife would be like, oh, you know how it is. Every time it's summer, she would have to brace herself to have to deal with me. Hmm. That would be so, because then, but here's the reason why, like now when that happens, and we're still cyclical, it's the same kind of, it's, we're not as loopy because we're pretty healthy business now. We're good at what we do. So our attrition is just very, like, we fluctuate at most 3% on a month-to-month basis, maybe 5 on a month-to-month business basis, right? But even if when it does happen, does it bother me? Yes, but it's not who I am. That is not a direct reflection of the person that I am. It's what's happening in this season. But in a season 10 years ago or 8 years ago, as we're still building it, I'm a 26-year-old, 27-year-old, I take it personal. Right. It's like, oh, this is a direct reflection of my inability to provide.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
so learning that, you know, we have to be resilient in the face of adversity. We have to understand that setbacks, it's how we view them. Setbacks are a given in life. Right. But what's in front of a setback? It's going forward. It helps us learn how to develop problem solving skills. And it cultivates us to have this growth mindset if we can let ourselves do that. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, dude, that's a really important point, actually. And I know we got to wrap up soon here, but, that's a really important point, I think, about resilience, because so many guys still, and like, dude, I included myself in this even a few years ago, took everything personally, so personally. And it was, like you said, a direct reflection on my failure, because my expectation of myself was all wrong. I didn't have a long-term understanding that there were seasons, like you said, and that's something we're talking about too. It's kid season right now, man. We're just not going to have the life that we want in terms of, like, one-on-one dates all the time because it's kid season. But that long-term view of understanding that it's going to suck sometimes, and these things are happening for you, not to you, and that you got to drop your perfection expectation and understand that, dude, you can fail. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And everything doesn't need to be perfect for you to actually, like, be a good man. That's that seems obvious in hindsight, but I did not learn that very gracefully.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you're listening to this, man, like, I ask you to reflect on the long-term nature of your life. You're going to be here 10 years from now, God willing. And therefore there will be things that you have to go through to get to the promised land, so to speak. Yeah. So anyway, man, like, being a business, building things, so important to get those along the way. And dude, let's just wrap up with that, man.
Yeah.
Like, you got to, there's so much that I do. This is not at all what I want to talk about. And here we are, but we're building this life, and through building things in real life. So when I build with my boys, when I build my business, when I build my relationships, when I build my community with my friends, these are small touch points along the way for me, my soul, my identity, to go push out into the world and see how I deal with things, because it's going to be hard. Things are not going to work out all the time. I'm going to have, like, hiccups along the way, but by building things rather than only consuming, I get those little points. I get those little, like, pings in my armor where I'm like, I got to deal with that. But if you sit and do nothing, if you just consume all the time, you never get an opportunity to grow. Yeah. So I think, like, dude, that when I look at you and what you're talking about, you're building all the time. You just like, dude, you are a builder. And I get that that way too. Yeah. Like, you've got all these little touch points that, you know, mid 30s, you've got this, what were we saying at the very beginning about, like, you're in this sort of settled spot where you're looking now longer term, you're looking sort of legacy because you've had all these touch points. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so something that, like my all my closest friends, their average age is about a decade ahead. Like, they're about mid 40s, and they always call me an old soul. But I think it's just because I've been through much, and there's a lot more that I'm going to experience. But I think we have to lend ourselves to these experiences. We have to build resilience through failure, through making mistakes, through hurting people, through hurting yourselves, and getting back up every single time, you know? So that's how legacies are made.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'm like, okay, let's book another hour right now, because I've just got all these questions that I wrote and didn't ask. But anyway,
part two.
Anyway, I appreciate this very much. I love digging into this. And like you said, this is just like the tip of the iceberg. But where do you want to send people in terms of finding out more? You got the book, you got the gym.
Yeah. Easiest way to get in touch with me is probably sliding my DMs at Eric Freedom. Actually, no, it's at Coach Eric Freedom. I don't even know my own Instagram. I actually don't spend a whole lot of time on it. So I jump on, like, engage, do all this stuff, and then jump off. But at Coach Eric Freedom, I also have ericfreedom.com. So if you have any, like, book stuff, I'm working on getting that updated right now, because it hasn't been updated since the pre-launch of the book. So we got to get the book up there now. We got to get all the new projects that I'm working on up there. And that's where you can reach me.
Sweet. And don't run from the fight. I'm going to put all these links inside the show notes at dad.org/podcast anyway. So if you guys want to follow Eric, have a shout at him, get the book. It's all going to be dad.org/podcast. So, bro, thank you for spending the time with me. And we'll have to do a V2 where I can actually ask questions I was planning. But I appreciate you, bro.
Sounds good, man.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Dad Work Podcast. That's it for this episode. But if you would like to stay in touch between weekly episodes, why don't you go over to Instagram and follow me there? Because I drop a number of things throughout the week that are related to what we talk about on this podcast, but usually go a little bit deeper, provide some tips. You can find me on Instagram at dadwork.curt. That's dadwork.curt. And please, if you have been getting something out of this podcast, if it has touched you, if it has improved your marriage, your parenting, or your life, would you please leave a quick review on Apple or Spotify? Leave a rating. If you have a few extra seconds, leave a quick review. That's the best way that we can get this work in the hands of more fathers. And I truly believe that we change the world one father at a time, because each father that parents better, that loves better, raises children who do the same. And in just a couple of generations, I feel like we could be living in a world much better than the one we live in today. Your review will help along that path. And I thank you so much for being here to listen. Until next week, we'll see you then.